Welcome back to the Breakside Podcast, here for episode 43. This is your ultimate destination for in-depth, collegiate professional Frisbee discussions and interviews. I'm your host, David Adamitis. This episode's guest is a senior and a captain playing for the University of Georgia. Fresh off of winning D1 Florida warm-up, he hopes to lead his team to their fourth consecutive berth to Nationals. Introducing Jack Stevenson. Jack, thanks for being here. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Like, just before we hit record here, we're just sharing how this time of year is one of the coolest with the college scene. It's when it gets serious. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You can see the bridge to regionals and hopefully earning that bid to Nationals. And it's just the excitement's building. So I'm really, really happy to have you on and just dive into another really fun conversation about college Frisbee. But to start it off, like I just mentioned, you guys won that D1 Florida warm-up. Big tournament to kind of start the year off. I'm sure it gave you a good confidence boost. Just talk to me about what the high was or what the takeaways were coming off of that win.
Yeah, Florida warm-up, I think, was really big for the team as a whole and just for the mentality. You know, all through the fall, you're getting these rookies and these younger guys, and you're telling them that we're a good team and we have lots of hopes to go far and go to Nationals. So I think actually being able to pull through in some of these tournaments is really big for the team as a whole, just proving, you know, to ourselves that we can do it. There's a lot of talk of, yeah, we're a good team and we have what it takes, but being able to put down some wins and pull out a really big tournament, I think is really special for the team moving forward to give us that kind of energy. So.
Absolutely. You mentioned the rookies there. I think it's so important. Like, college is only a few years, people come and go, and you have to build up that team every year. Talk to me real quick about the rookies that you guys have in this team. How many did you bring in? What is your development process like with them? Just, you know, what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, so I think we brought 6 rookies this year, but a little bit of all over the place. Got kid from North Carolina area, someone from Brooklyn, a couple guys from in-state that had played high school in Georgia. So really excited with the rookies we have this year. There's a lot of guys that are getting, you know, meaningful points in some of these games. And so I think it's really encouraging moving forward. It was really hard to make the team this year. So we had a lot of guys trying out, and it was really difficult to narrow down to these rookies. And so I think the benefit of that is being able to only take the guys that we're really confident in both their ability and their buy-in into the team. And I think we have a really solid group of guys for this year.
Absolutely. It's probably that balance of who are these guys that are going to add value now. And then you're also trying to set your sights in the future too. So a lot of balance there with the rookies, but it's a critical part of any college team, I think. So you have this D1 Florida warm-up. You guys win the tournament. Like you said, a lot of big confidence boost to the team. You follow that up at Smoky Mountain, another really solid tournament. You guys finished second, just missed the championship, losing 12-15 to ZooDisc over at UMass. Also another fantastic college team. So you come up a little short, but I don't think you can call it a bad showing here. What are takeaways from Smoky Mountain?
Yeah, so I think Smoky Mountain was great. You know, obviously we had a good weekend, made it to the championship. I wasn't even there actually, but piecing together that tournament, there was a lot of good things, but also plenty of things that we weren't happy with. I think it's easy to watch in all those games. We didn't play perfect Frisbee. It's very hard to, and so there's plenty of things for us to take away moving towards Easterns, and lots of work that we can do, you know, watching those games and realizing that, hey, it's a couple good results, but we haven't really done anything in the next tournament and haven't done anything towards the series. So it's something that you can't just kind of coast off of.
Definitely. Talk to me a little bit more about like the mental side of this here. You have a major confidence boost in Florida. You fall just short. And I can imagine maybe there's this high coming off Florida. You guys think, okay, like we're here. This is our emergence onto the scene this season. Well, the Smoky Mountain, it's not a disappointment, but you guys didn't win and you came off of a win there. So was there a hit to the confidence of the team, or are you just really looking at this as a learning experience?
I don't think there was much of a hit to the confidence. You know, I think it's one thing if we lose that last game, you know, 15-5 and just get absolutely outmatched. But I think it's another thing to have a lot of mistakes early in that game, especially, and then to still be tied up 11-11 and have a chance late in that game. So I think it's really encouraging staying close in that game for how many mistakes we had. So I don't think it takes any of a confidence hit at all. I think if anything, it proves that we are a team that can consistently get to the meaningful parts of these tournaments. And so it's just looking to do that again as we move forward, and then a little bit of extra motivation to want to pull it through next time.
I like it. It's constantly laying the bricks, building one step after the other. There's always something you can learn from things like this, which I think. So it sounds like you guys have that mentality, which is really exciting to hear for you guys. And two big tournaments, you guys got to see some of the best teams in the nation that are right there with you. UNC, UMass, Browns out there. You guys got to either play against a lot of these teams or at least watch those games. I think being able to be exposed to opponents that you know you're going to match up later in the season is probably so critical in just gathering information, seeing what's going on out there. Talk to me about especially these big matchups like that UMass or UNC or watching Brown, wherever it is, like some of those big teams out there, that how, like, what role does it play trying to gather information on these teams and how that's going to propel you guys forward?
Yeah, definitely. So I think, as you're saying, you learn a little bit about the team every time you play them. So, you know, UMass, we first time we played them at Florida warm-up, it was really bad weather. It was really windy and rainy, and we were able to pull out the win in that game. And then seeing them again at Smoky Mountain, it was a lot calmer and better weather, and we lost that game. So, you know, there's things to pull from both of those and trying to figure out kind of how we want to play these teams. And yeah, I think all of these, there's a lot of really, really strong teams in the division this year. Hopefully we get to play pretty much all of them. You know, there's a few teams you still haven't seen, haven't seen Darkside, haven't seen Cal Poly. Would love to get matchups against these teams before Nationals. But yeah, every time you see them, it's just a little bit of seeing what makes them work, what kind of matchups are helpful for them, what kind of play style is helpful for them. Because every team's going to be a little bit different every single year, even if they have a lot of the same players. So I definitely think it's valuable going to all these tournaments and just getting the ability to see what the other team has, and then kind of think on that and game plan a bit more for the next time we're going to see them.
So at this point in the season, Ulti World has you guys ranked number 4 in the power rankings behind UMass, Cal Poly, and UNC, some other big teams out there. But, you know, being ranked 4th, I think, is probably pretty darn respectable where you guys are. Do you feel confident? Do you feel satisfied where you are this season? You have some really good games under your belt. The Frisbee world recognizes what's going on with Georgia. Do you feel good where you are?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it'd be pretty hard to complain being where we are right now. You know, we pulled out a regular season win, which isn't honestly something that Georgia's been able to do for quite some time. So being able to have a tournament win and then finish in the finals and in the other tournament is definitely super impressive. And we're super happy with that. And then I think the ranking's fair. It's kind of, once you get to that top 5, top 4, there's a lot of really, really good teams. So it's a lot of those games have gone both ways. So it'll be interesting to see how Eastern's plays out. And I think whoever can win that tournament might find themselves on top. So I think everything is still left to be played. So pretty excited where we are right now, though.
Absolutely. And one thing I love about Frisbee, I think it's probably one of the most true team sports out there. Right. It takes at least 2 people to move the disc down the field. Right. And usually when you get all 7 involved, better things happen. Right. You think of like basketball where there's one star player can take over a game, or soccer, you can have something like that. But Frisbee, I think it's a true team sport, and you're in that captain leadership role of your team, but you're not by yourself. You have 3 other captains that you work with out there. So if you just want to share a little bit more about the dynamic with you, 4 captains in the team, maybe a little bit more than you typically find. What is that dynamic like? If you want to give them a nice shout out working with those guys, just talk to me about the leadership group there.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, going into this year, we typically will take 3 captains, but then kind of going into captain nominations, we kind of got down to the group of 4 and we're just like, well, what are really the cons of having 4 captains? And couldn't think of much as we compared the pros. So, yeah, it's me, Cole Chandler, Carter Retour, and Jake Powell. And so I think the helpfulness of having those 4 captains is everyone kind of sees the game a little bit differently and has some different opinions and honestly just different roles. So, you know, we don't always need every single captain to be strictly working on strategy or strictly working on specific logistics. So it's nice to have people with strengths. You know, I think Cole Chandler and Jake, those guys, they're working on a lot of defensive strategy and they're a lot better than I am at that. And then Carter is very helpful with, you know, workouts and keeping the team in shape. He does cross country. So, and then you've also got the sides where we can, you know, going into team huddles, different captains can bring different energy. So sometimes I'll have to play bad cop and be more of a responsible captain. And then Jake and Chandler and Carter can all just come in and yell and get everyone fired up. So it's nice being able to have all those different people to bounce off of. And then on top of that, we have multiple coaches as well. We've got Batson and Ishan as our head coaches, and then Mac is helping out as well. So big leadership group, but I think it definitely is all to our benefit and just helps us find different angles for everything.
I was chuckling there. You mentioned that one captain who also ran cross country. That's exactly what I did. I ran cross country in college, and I wasn't captain of the team, but I, you know, I played all 4 years as well. So the fitness definitely has a role to play. And like you said, you offer a different kind of insight that, you know, everyone brings their own strengths and weaknesses, something like that. But I want to hear a little bit more about your story becoming captain, right? It's obviously not something you do when you first join a team, but it's something you've regressed to naturally. So I imagine, I mean, you're in this role, you get to give it yourself. Like, that's a wonderful gift to have on a team. So talk to me about your mindset. I'm sure when you were freshman, you had guys that influenced you and that were older, and now you're in the senior leadership role. Like, how satisfying is that direction? Like, how much do you just want to give, or what is this mindset in that role for you specifically?
Yeah, so I definitely think that kind of my path to becoming captain was definitely shaped by the guys before me. So, I mean, the first year I was on the team was during that COVID year. I mean, we never played. We just had practices. But then my sophomore year, the captains there, it was Hayden, Adam Miller, and Jared Bennett. And a lot of those guys were just really beneficial in my development as a player. And they were, the culture on that team was extremely enjoyable. And I think that team had a lot of success just having really high energy and good energy. And so for me, it's not like I had to reinvent the wheel or have totally different directions for the team. I'm really just been looking to continue kind of the culture that Joe has been building the past few years. So, you know, just keeping the energy. I think we have been, as far as I've been on the team, and we will be for the foreseeable future, a team that rides on energy. So just being able to direct that and keep a team that is aggressive and loud, that thrives off that energy, we've had a lot of success. So that's kind of where I've tried to help the team go. And as far as my role specifically, I really try to just be, you know, a captain of the team that can work with the players, because I feel like that's ultimately one of the reasons I'm in that position, is because people will feel like they can, you know, talk to me and communicate to me. So that's one of the big things I try to do, is just be open with those players and with expectations, roles, and being able to go back and forth with the players and the coaches and kind of bridge some of those gaps to where leadership isn't just this far off thing that tells everybody what to do, but it's actually a much more tangible group of people that will work with the team. So keeping a pulse on where the team is at is definitely something I try to focus on doing.
I think culture is probably a hallmark of what makes Frisbee Frisbee. I think it's something we'd love to talk about on this podcast, and it makes a good team a great team. It's everything. So I love that. It's so, so important to the success of any team out there. That's huge. And I think, you know, taking a different approach here, looking at college Frisbee, is there tends to be this idea that it's not a very serious sport, which I don't think is a fair thought, especially when you get to the upper, higher levels of this, of the talent pool out there. The games are so competitive, and there's so much that goes into prep over this. Or if you want to talk about the culture, leadership standpoint, the planning, the awareness of your team, checking in everyone, there's so much in there. But I would love for you to walk me through kind of a typical week for you guys at Georgia. What are your practices? What are your workouts like? Kind of some of your strength training. How much effort does it actually goes into being a good team like you guys are?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously, you know, it changes kind of depending on what point in the year we are at. So, but for example, right now we are in that between tournament phase. So all of our practice planning and leadership planning has gone into specifically SMI to Easterns. You know, how are we going to get from SMI to Easterns? And, you know, a lot of that's physical. So practice, we have Monday, Wednesday nights, we practice for 2 hours, and then Sunday we'll practice for 3 hours. And sometimes we'll do, you know, two practices on Sunday, do a little bit of a little weekend camp, but typically it's just those three. And then occasionally we'll have additional days where it's just film or classroom practices to focus on, you know, plays, film, and things of that nature. But those three practices are our biggest priority. And at those practices, when we're expecting attendance, we're expecting effort, and really just expecting a lot from the players. And so because of that, and with the understanding that at the end of the day, it's a bunch of guys that are in college and have really full schedules to balance, there isn't a lot of requirement specific stuff that goes on outside of practice. And so part of that is just, you know, trusting the players and trusting the team that people will need to work on the things that they need to work on. So if you have trouble throwing it around, that's not something that we're going to do at practice. That's something that you need to be working with teammates on other days and throwing. And there's a lot of resources too within the team. You know, like I said, Carter is really good at conditioning and working out that sort of muscle. And then you also have other guys on the team that are extremely proficient in the gym and are good at weightlifting and are always willing to help anyone else who wants to work on that or get a specific plan. So it's a lot of opportunities for us, not as much requirements. So instead of requiring 5 workouts, 4 film sessions and all these things, it's just more trying to provide opportunities for these players to do those and allowing the players to do what they see as fit. Because, you know, I mean, not every player is going to have the same kind of thing they need to work on. So it's some guys, it might benefit them more to look through some of the film and try to understand the game a bit more, whereas other players, they might need to just get faster and work on physical attributes. So all that being said, we're having the 3 practices a week, and then you know, mentally we're trying to work on resetting as well. So like I said, a lot of it is the periodic grouping of practices. And so right now it's trying to get the team back into a place where we aren't just reflecting on past results and thinking about, hey, oh, we did pretty well. It's okay, well, Easterns is coming up and we haven't won a game at Easterns yet. We haven't lost one either, but we haven't done anything at the next tournament, and it's getting everyone back in that primed primed kind of position to go after another tournament and be ready to put all of their focus there. So that's definitely something that's big for us. And then as far as like weekly structures go, one of the things we started doing this year, which I've really liked, all credit to Sam Batson, but UGA football does, they call it Bloody Tuesdays, where on Tuesdays, it's when they hit, it's when they make the most progress. And so for us, we started doing that on Mondays. So every Monday, we show up to the fields and you bring your jerseys, you bring your uniforms, and we're split into teams. And that's the day where it's not a group practice. It is team performance against each other. And that's, you know, I think that's been really helpful this year, kind of getting that focus and that energy up on those Mondays. But yeah.
Interesting. I love it. Something that's unique, and it's fun. Every college, every group of guys approaches this differently. And something I love you said is it's provide the opportunities, but in the balance of that is the culture where you foster where guys want to work. And if you have the balance of those two things, then I think you'll have success. And it sounds exactly what you're doing. You're tackling it in so many different avenues. And I mean, your results speak enough of that it is a successful program you guys are working on this year. So that's really cool. Now, as far as I know, Georgia has never won a national championship. A couple years ago, you guys finished 2nd, and I think there may be some other top close finishes in years prior. I'm sure this championship would mean the world, especially your senior. I know you're planning on playing next year as well in grad school, but senior year here, what would this college national championship mean for this group of guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's the obvious answer, but it means everything. I mean, it's a lot of this group of guys were on that team that made it to the championship the last time around. You know, I was on that team, and for a lot of these players that were, this is their last chance at it again. So a lot of those guys that were on that championship team that lost, this is one of their last opportunities to get after it again. And so, I mean, I think just trying to replicate that feeling, you know, warming up for the national championship, you've got ESPN there. I mean, everyone has been chasing that ever since we got the opportunity to be there the first time. So, you know, that was one of the things we talked about early on in the season, is we just kind of had a meeting and said, hey, what is the goal for this team? Because I think whether it's unspoken or explicitly said, every team has kind of a place where they feel like they want to land, whether it's making it to regionals or making it to nationals. And this team is one that the goal of the team is to win a championship. So I think that's definitely something that we are pushing for. And I don't think there's any questions to whether anyone wants it on the team. And it's something that we want to do for each other. We want to do for the team, and something we want to do for the program. You know, all the the alums and the coaches and everyone that has poured so much into this program, it's for them too. And it's for, I mean, everybody that's been able to play on JoJo, like you said, it's not something we've done before. So there's tons of motivation to try and get that this year.
It'd be such a momentum moment there. I think the team's been around, I believe, since 1982. You guys have a long history. So I imagine just like the weight that would add is this team has been, you know, desiring, craving, working so hard to get to that. Do you feel like you're playing for a team that's old? Like, do you see the alumni network? Do you have like the backing of all these guys? And just, I don't want to say weight of that, of the history of the team, but it's not a new group of guys that's been out there doing that. It's been a long time that this dream's been around of Georgia Frisbee.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. There's definitely lots of support from the alums. I mean, every year we try to have an alumni weekend, and so we'll have, I think ours is in April this year, and a lot of the alums, whoever can make it, will come up and just hang out and spend the weekend together and finish it off with a scrimmage. And, you know, as you said, it's been a team for a while, and there's a lot of guys that have played Georgia Frisbee, and I definitely think it's something that is noticeable. And it's definitely something that we can pick up on, you know, it's through tweets and anything, whatever it may be, there's always a constant stream of support for us. And I think it's always been super helpful. And I mean, as far as even strategy, there's a pretty rich network of guys that are really good at Frisbee that have come through Georgia. So, I mean, Batson's an example, he's played for the team and now he's coaching the team. And so lots of insight from years past and being able to, you know, kind of learn from where teams have been before and try and steer it in a better direction. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's pressure from those guys. I mean, I think they're all super well-intentioned and they're all just rooting for us in the end. So also, I mean, even the crowd, we've had a lot of guys come out to any of the tournaments in Athens. We have a pretty good support. And we also have a solid list of alumni that will show up at nationals. And so, I mean, seeing those guys there is just incredible. It's awesome to see all the support. So yeah, definitely a plus to have.
I mean, all that is just a testament to what you guys have built, the community, the culture that we keep on mentioning here. It's so important. And you, again, see that over and over again in your own life and this own time here with Georgia Frisbee. Now, I got to ask, the team's name is JoJo. Do you know where the name comes from? What's going on there?
That is a great question. I don't know for sure. My best guess is we tend to struggle getting the rights to use a lot of Georgia things. We're not allowed to use all the fonts and logos and everything. So that's probably where my guess is that, hey, we can't use the logo. We probably also couldn't use the name. And so JoJo, if you think about it, just kind of sounds like a Southern person's pronunciation of Georgia. And so with that, hence the name. And that's probably my best guess. And I always find it a bit comical when there's all these uniquely named teams. And it's we're Georgia JoJo, which almost seems repetitive, but at this point it's definitely stuck and there's enough of a culture behind it that it's not going anywhere. So
I like it. Yeah, somebody was trying to get clever with it right back in the day. And that's a problem though that so many colleges have, where it's just a club team and you're not fully backed by the university. I was really fortunate where in college, my senior year of college, our club team was elevated to varsity, and that just completely changed the program. We went from, you know, barely able to compete with certain stuff to, you know, losing in the finals of regionals, 1 point away from nationals. It's, I think when colleges start to realize like this sport is legit, is serious, and there is a growing market for that, I think it's just going to pick up so much more at the college scene. You'll find the backing of the money, and then you'll get to be able to, you call you guys Georgia, even though I'm sure at that point you wouldn't change the name, but you get the fonts and everything else that comes along with that, hopefully. But it's just the growth of the sport, I think, would propel that forward. Now, a little bit of shift of focus here. You know, we've talked so much about where you guys currently are. I would love to hear, how did you get into the sport of Frisbee in the beginning?
Yeah, definitely. So I would not say I was your standard, like, played for a middle school program, played forever. I know there's a lot of guys that have been playing Frisbee for a really long time, which is wild to me. I grew up playing baseball, actually, so played a couple sports growing up and played baseball in high school. And then I stopped playing it my sophomore year of high school and just kind of by chance didn't have much to do. Had a lot of newly found free time from not playing baseball. And a couple of friends invited me out to Frisbee Friday at Lambert. You know, that's a weekly kind of pickup we'll have to try and encourage Frisbee. And I went out to that a couple times. It was pretty fun. And I made the team that year, my sophomore year, and pretty much could not throw Frisbee. I could throw the little backyard pancake 5 yards, but just kind of made it to run around and be an athlete. And then, you know, junior year was getting significantly better and putting a lot of time into it. And then into my senior year, I was captain of the high school team and was really kind of sold on the sport. And so then going into college, I still wasn't someone who really like knew a ton about anything. And that was funny when I first got to Georgia, I was like, I'd love to try out for the team, and I don't really know if we're good or not. And so I tried out and made the team, and practicing with them all through COVID, I was like, you know, these guys are really good, but I'm assuming every team is like this, which we turned out not to be the case. And that was the year we went all the way to the championship. But yeah, so definitely was a bit naive in my Frisbee career, but just kind of picked it up as an athlete and haven't stopped since.
Talk to me real quick. How cool was it to go to the championship game of college nationals as a freshman? Like you just said, you didn't really know what was going on in the sport, but you go all the way freshman year. How surreal was that?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. So it was me. It was my rookie class. We were all sophomores, but it was our freshman year as far as Frisbee goes, because we didn't get to play. And I mean, it was unbelievable. But the whole time at the tournament, we knew we were getting spoiled. But for us, that was our first nationals. So we just, I mean, this must be what nationals is always like, which it's not. But just everything in the games was incredible. Just the success we were having and the energy as a team that we were having, but also just the little things outside of it were just so starkly different from any other tournament. You know, there's all these teams that have wrapped up their season. They lost in pre-quarters or whatever, and they're hanging out, getting dinner. And we had a game, went back to the hotel, ate, and worked on the next game with scouting and film and working for the next game. And so we were just strictly business for that entire trip. And it was an absolute blast. I mean, it was so much fun to be on. And with that group of guys and with that team, it was just incredible. So getting ahead of our first experience was definitely a primer for college. And now it's something that we all desperately want to get back to, because it was absolutely incredible. So, yeah.
Do you think that first trip there set the standard for these following trips you've made, and hopefully this year as well, where you look back and say, this is what we want, here are the lessons, this is the takeaways that we have, and that's just taking you from since then, you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's just quickly realizing, hey, on Sunday and Monday, I don't want to be sitting in the bleachers like I am right now. I want to be warming up on the field like we were able to fall of 21, because, I mean, just sitting there and warming up and getting ready with your team while you realize every single other team there is no longer playing, it's just like that's where you want to be. And that's what we're playing for, is for that championship and being able to mimic that feeling. And obviously it's totally different team, totally different style of play. But yeah, getting back to that championship is definitely something that has been increased just by being there in the first place. It's something that we all really want.
So looking ahead now, I know you have one more year of Georgia Frisbee. What are your goals beyond that in the sport of Frisbee? Would you love to go play club? You know, is UFA an option? What are your dreams? What else do you hope to achieve in this sport?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I don't think I'm just going to graduate and stop playing. I think I've come to enjoy it too much. So, yeah, it'll be interesting trying to figure out kind of what comes next. Obviously, UFA, I think, would be a great opportunity. And being in Georgia, that would be Hustle, which I would love to be a part of. And kind of as I get older in college, it's definitely something I want to try and work towards. And similarly, you have Chain as the top of the men's division, at least in Georgia. So would love to play high level club and high level Frisbee. It's just trying to figure out the best way to go about that. And so, you know, in the summer, I've played a variety of different teams. I've played men's, I've played mixed. This summer, I might be playing mixed again. And I really enjoyed that, getting to play at a pretty high level with some really good players, and definitely think that club is a great tool to get people better throughout their college career. I think it's definitely something that should be utilized by a lot of young players. And then, yeah, moving out of college, I would love to keep playing. Honestly, the biggest part of it is where I'm going to end up as far as like where my career would take me. So hopefully Frisbee in some capacity. We'll just have to see where that's going to be.
I love it. And there's plenty of time for that to get figured out here, especially as, like you said, once I get a job, that can probably drive a lot of other things. But it's good to hear Frisbee is still in the future for you. And you know, I've talked to a lot of college guys or even guys that have graduated college and hear them talk about those college years. They always remember it with very fondness. There's something special about it, especially the fact you only have 4 or 5 years to win a college championship. Right, club, you have years and it's just a different feel to it, or UFA, again, different feel to it. But they look back in their college years very fondly. Like, it's a special group of guys, special memories. Looking back at your own years so far at Georgia, do you have a particular memory or two that stands out as a highlight with the team?
The biggest one is just all the moments in between. You know, I mean, getting as close as you do with these guys, you're with them like 3 to 4 times a week at least, and just spending a lot of time with them. And I think one of the things I never thought of coming into college was that other people graduate earlier than I do. So I think I kind of made the team when I was young and was like, oh, cool. Like, these guys are great. This is a super fun team. And then kind of that first end of the year when 5 or 6 of those guys left, you kind of realize that how fleeting the time is with those guys, and the relationship you can build in that short period of time is just, it's really impressive. There's a lot of the guys that I'm still in touch with today, and still we'll talk to. And so, yeah, I would say the relationships with all those teammates is just irreplaceable. And then as far as specific memories, I mean, Fall Nationals is obviously one of them. Making it to the championship with those guys, the feelings and the excitement there was absolutely incredible. And then I think this year, making it to finally pull through and win an in-season tournament was also really big. You know, we were able to win that final and win Florida warm-up, and I think that was really big for us. It was big for the alums. It was big for the program, just because we hadn't been able to win a tournament for quite some time. So as far as small moments go, that was definitely sweet for the team.
I love you mentioned just the moments in between. Like, you do life with those guys, you know, you practice all the time, but you get meals, you know, there's teammates that live together, you know, same dorm rooms and everything. It's a special bond that I don't think can be replicated outside of a college atmosphere. And I love, we mentioned the alumni game, thinking of my own life. In about a couple of weeks now, I go down to my alma mater and I'll play the alumni game. And to be on the other side of that, and just, it's amazing. It's a surreal feeling. So this culture idea, it's really cool. And you know, it's something we've mentioned several times here. If you want to give a piece of advice of how to help build a good, successful culture for a college team, what would you share?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I would share is that it's a team. So it's not just like, yes, you're trying to perform at a high level, but before you can do that, you've got to get to know each other. So it's building relationships and establishing that trust as a team, because it's ultimately the guys that will play the hardest will play that way because they're playing for their teammates. You know, we've had players that are just on their absolute last leg. They would never be playing in any other sport or scenario, but just with how much they trust and love their teammates, they're still going on those fields, and you see people just leaving it all out there. And so I think that is one of the true kind of hallmarks of knowing that you've hit that point where you have that trust. It's just building those relationships and getting guys that will fight for each other, I think is hugely important.
You need total buy-in there, I think. So right on the money there with that one. And Jack, just this kind of brings us to close the interview, though. I want to open it up. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I'm honored to be on the podcast and really just proud of Georgia and this specific team and the program, and just shout out all the guys that are working so hard to be a part of the team every day. And, looking forward to the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Big shout out to the Georgia guys. Wishing you all the best of luck this season as you guys progress to the national championship, hopefully here. Rooting for you guys. And Jack, just thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your sharing your story and just taking us into this dive into Georgia Frisbee. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And as always, make sure you check out the Breakside Instagram at Breakside_podcast. And that brings us to the end of episode 43. This is David Adamitis with Jack Stevenson. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.